Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for July 6, 2006. A small change can have a big effect, part 2. I'm Doug Smith. I can't tell you how many times I've seen either myself or other engineers get caught up in a problem where during some test, whether it be a compliance test or performance test or just plain troubleshooting, in the process of doing a testing, especially the troubleshooting kind, more than one variable is changed accidentally, or there's a hidden variable that is not recognized, which causes a scatter plot of the data and lots of lost time and work. All kinds of problems result when that happens. And my technical tidbit of this month addresses one of those, and that is plugging in an Ethernet plug into a jack. And one of the problems these days is charged cables damaging port, and since most Ethernet cables are unshielded, the signal pins make first, and so a little bit more susceptible to cable discharge. In doing a test of that kind, I noticed that I was sometimes having the port fail at fairly low voltages, like 600 volts, 500 volts, and at other times I could go to the highest I could get, 4,000 volts, which was as much as I could put on the jack. At that point, the jack would spark to the chassis on the way in, and you couldn't actually get it to go in the plug with any more charge than that. And I get this plot which has sort of like two bunches of points, low and high, and couldn't make any sense out of it. You could never predict which one of these things you were going to be in until I noticed the cause. And the cause was when you insert the Ethernet plug, there's a little bit of play. You can cock it to the right a little bit or to the left a little bit. And when you do, one set of signal pins makes before the other, or the opposite if you turn the plug the other way a little bit. Well, in this particular case, the port had some electronics hanging off the center taps of one of the transformers, and the other transformer was ground. Of course, sitting out on the center taps of the transformers facing the outside world, the electronics is unprotected by the transformer and needs its own protection, and that's what we were trying to measure, the ability to survive a cable discharge. Well, if the cable was put in slightly, say, to the left, what would happen is that the ground side would make first, or vice versa, I forget which way it was. But if the ground side made first, went up to 4,000 volts, no problem, because ground's pretty robust. If the plug were cocked the other way a little bit, then it would make the electronics first, and then we could burn out the electronics at some voltage, like 500 or 600, something like that. Once we understood this, then it was very clear what was happening, and we changed to putting a plug in and just have wires stick out of the plug, and we would do various kinds of discharge to the wires, and the plug was already inserted and maybe just an inch of the various conductors sticking out. And then we were okay. One of the biggest examples I can think of causing problems in a circuit by your attempt to troubleshoot it would be the addition of a scope probe to the circuit to try and ascertain what was going on. One time one of my clients had a problem in their circuit, and they were talking to me on the phone and said, "Well, we know that the phase-lock loop is doing such and such." And I said, "Well, how do you know it's doing such and such?" "Well, we can hook a scope to it. We can see that." Well, the problem with hooking a probe to a circuit is twofold at least. One is the input impedance of modern probes is nowhere near as high as you would think. You're really, really lucky to get 300 ohms and the upper octave of the bandwidth, maybe a hair more. More likely to get around 200 for most active probes. And if you have an active probe that's older than 3 or 4 years, it's almost always around 20 ohms somewhere in the upper octave of bandwidth. So that certainly affects things. Almost all of the probes do that, except the very latest ones. In addition, you hook the probe to the circuit. You just hook this huge antenna to the circuit. So and now you can bring noise in. If it's an unbalanced probe, you have a new ground connection, which changes all the board resonances and adds a new path for noise in, and that can affect things. So in this case, the company was actually causing their own problem. Once we got past that and started fixing the real problem, then we were making some progress. So there's all kinds of things we can do to shoot ourselves in the foot in troubleshooting circuits, and just two examples. There are many, many more one could go into. And at today's high frequencies, all it takes is a nanohenry here or a picofarad there, and we can cause big effects in the circuit. And if we're not aware of what we're doing, it can be a real time waster. It's pretty easy to waste a week in the lab trying to track down some glitch if you're not being very, very careful. Well, that wraps it up for this technical tidbit of July 6, 2006. Thanks for listening, and please please feel free to send me any comments and suggestions, or maybe suggest some topics to Doug at dsmith.org. Again, thanks for listening.